You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome into a Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter. And at Locked On Vols is where you can find this podcast each and every day. Now, hey, you might be watching on YouTube. Every single morning at 9 o'clock Eastern time, the new episode of Locked On Vols will premiere on YouTube. You can catch that all day, every day, whenever you want to, just by searching Locked On Vols on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe. And, of course, the audio portion of this podcast found anywhere you get your podcast 5 days a week, right in the morning for your listening pleasure. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in, making Locked On Vols your first listen. I'm Eric Kane. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're new to the show, welcome to it. I also write for the Rival site that's covering Tennessee football, basketball, recruiting, and a whole lot more. So thanks so much for joining us here on the show. Today's show, we are going to check into an article from 24/7 Sports on the winners and losers of the 2022 NFL early draft entry. So which teams won by keeping players, which teams lost by losing players. That's the topic in segment one. In segment two, Ben McKee from VolQuest.com, one of my colleagues there. And of course, at the Swain event, we'll stop by to talk a little Tennessee hoops. And then we'll get into our Vols and review special teams in segment number three. So first, let's get into it. Was Tennessee a winner or a loser when you talk about these draft early entry deadlines? Well, it's easy to say Tennessee was a winner, okay? Hendon Hooker, your quarterback, is coming back. Cedric Tillman, your top wide receiver, is coming back. Both of those guys are draft-eligible players, and both of those guys could have moved on and went on, done other things with their college journeys or with their professional journeys, but they decided to come back. And the number one team, according to this article, is the Tennessee Volunteers. This is what the article says. An offseason after it felt like everybody was leaving Tennessee, 20-plus transfers, the Vols and Coach Josh Heupel received good news in return of quarterback Hendon Hooker, big play wide receiver Cedric Tillman, and several other important pieces like offensive lineman Jerome Carvin, tight end Princeton Fant, and third leading tackler Trayvon Flowers in the secondary, plus their kickers and their punters. Hooker could have struck while the iron was hot, turning his career around in Knoxville, but I'm glad to see him return as he should be one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC in 2022 and in a fantastic offense to showcase his talents and raise his stock even further. So, yeah, I would agree with that. Tennessee Volunteers, certainly the winners, should be the number one team in terms of winners when this, this entry into the 2022 NFL draft, that deadline has come and gone. Again, that was earlier this week. Players had to submit their paperwork if they were going to go into the 2022, if they're going to declare to the 2022 NFL draft. That paperwork had to be submitted earlier this week on Wednesday. And some players, of course, already made their notions known long ago. Some took it all the way up to the deadline. But for Tennessee, and this is news we've known for a while, considered the number one winners from this deadline per 247 Sports. So you got Hendon Hooker. We've talked about him, how massive it is to bring back your quarterback, to not only bring back your quarterback, to bring back a good quarterback. He is an outstanding quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. I mean, 31 total touchdowns this season. Phenomenal. Only 3 interceptions total. Does not turn the football over. Capable of running this offense. Big play capabilities. Also with his legs to extend plays, to escape pressure. You guys know the role on Hendon Hooker. I don't have to go into that even more. Now, Cedric Tillman coming back. That's pretty significant as well. Very significant whenever you consider you're losing Velus Jones. You're losing Javonte Payton to the NFL draft. Payton has exhausted, but both of those guys really have exhausted their eligibilities, and both of those guys, I would assume, would be in a training camp of some sorts. Maybe not drafted. I bet Velus Jones will get drafted. I haven't looked at the big boards or anything like that lately, but I bet Velus Jones will get drafted just considering, what he means to special teams, what he can do in the slot, but we'll have to see. But that's why bringing Cedric Tillman back means that much more because, again, he became one of the most relied upon wide receivers in the Southeastern Conference. Had over 60 receptions, had over, I think, 12 touchdowns on the season. Statistically, if you look at the stats in the Southeastern Conference, him and John Mechie right up there kind of leading the pack, right? And Wandell Robinson of Kentucky. So massive haul to get Cedric Tillman back. And, of course, we knew both of these guys were returning before really the Christmas holiday. You move on as the as the article references Jerome Carvin. He was the first one, and actually it was me, Austin Price, and Jason Swain on the set of The Locker Room one Sunday night when we were, you know, doing the show, and Jerome Carvin was our guest, our Tennessee football guest that night, and we looked to him and said, hey, are you going to come back next year? And he said, yeah, and we were like, well, do you want to announce it right here? And he's like, I don't care, sure. So he just made that announcement right there on set of The Locker Room that saw locally here in Knoxville that he was going to be returning. So that was a whole lot of fun. But he means a lot to this offensive line too, because obviously versatility, played a number of games at center this past year. It's a really, really good guard when he's in his natural habitat at left guard. So that's good. Mentioned the tight end Princeton Fan, but also Jacob Warren. Two guys that when I spoke on Locked On SEC with Chris Gordy earlier today, I said these guys are not going to be all SEC players. They're not going to jump off the stat sheet, but they do so much in this offense. And of course, coordinator Alex Golish coaches these guys as a position coach. So you can line them up in the backfield, on the line, in the slot, out wide, whatever the case may be. And they split the snaps really about 50-50, Princeton Fant and Jacob Warren. So both those guys are huge, getting them back into the fold. And then another name, one of the last names that this article mentions is Trayvon Flowers. We spoke on him when we talked Vols in Review a couple days ago. It's good for Tennessee that they get him back. Don't get me wrong, but he needs to take a step like Theo Jackson took this last offseason, putting in the work away from the weight room, putting in the work away from the football field, just getting his mind right in terms of being the smartest guy on the field. And of course, if you're athletic enough, if you're fast, the skills will eventually take over. But a lot of this game, it's just so mental, right? Theo Jackson took that step to become, you know, what he is this last offseason. I'm not saying that Trayvon Flowers could be a Theo Jackson next year, but he needs to take a Theo Jackson-like step, because you didn't, I didn't. Nobody counted on Theo Jackson being what he was this year. So, you know, a lot of people counted him out. I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of counted him out. You know, he was not really in the fold for me. And then look, he's an all-SEC player. So that's what a guy like Trayvon Flowers needs to kind of shoot for, because he did not have a good year. But it's good to have experience back, especially on the defensive side of the football where you were lacking so much at times. Other winners, according to this 247 article, the Iowa Hawkeyes, Oregon Ducks, the Boston College Eagles, you got the UCLA Bruins, the losers, the Michigan Wolverines, the Oklahoma Sooners. They lost via the transfer portal too. Could be a winner, could be a loser. Iowa State. And then here is where they group the title game contenders when kind of talking about how they fare with this deadline for the 2022 NFL draft coming and going. Lumping Georgia and runner-up Alabama into the same bucket here. They could be a winner, they could be a loser, but it really doesn't matter because each school recruits so well, and that is so very true. Each team had swing guys that decided to leave and swing guys that decided to stay. We're talking about Alabama, guys who have elected to return. Henry Tuotuo, that's somebody that we know very, very well. He's staying. DJ Dale staying, a defensive lineman. DeMarco Helms is staying, a safety. Jordan Battle, safety, is staying. Byron Young, defensive lineman, is staying. Cameron Latu is staying. All those guys are very, very impactful players that were swing guys but decided to come back to Alabama for at least one more year. Obviously, guys who are leaving Alabama, Jameis Williams, Evan Neal, linebacker Christian Harris, wide receiver Slade Bolden, wide receiver John Mechie, Josh Joby, Chris Allen, Fedarian Mathis. Those are some big losses. Go look at Georgia. Guys who are decided to leave: Jameer Sawyer, James Cook, Zamir White, Devontae Wyatt, Darian Kendrick, Lewis Sign, George Pickens, Trayvon Walker, Channing Tindall, guys who decided to stay for Georgia. Safety Chris Smith and offensive or outside linebacker Nolan Smith, who, you know, might be one of the best linebackers and really defensive players in the country. So that's kind of how that article positions, you know, these teams and how they fare with this deadline coming of guys who left, guys who stayed. And Tennessee, no surprise, is among the leaders in the country by returning its quarterback, its top wide receiver, a tight end, an offensive lineman, a safety that started for three straight years. No surprise that Tennessee's returning, because again, positions of impact, quarterback, wide receiver, Tennessee gets two all SEC caliber players back for the 2022 season. All right. So that'll do it here for segment one. Ben McKee will stop by and talk with us here in segment number two. But before Ben, I want to remind you about NetSuite. All right, this is it, guys. It's the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. And if this is how you're running your business with poor visibility because you're still relying on those outdated spreadsheets and financing software, you need to see the full picture. You need to see NetSuite by Oracle. All right. NetSuite is the number one cloud financing system that powers your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses have increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses are already using NetSuite. So for the new year, NetSuite has got a new financing program that are for those that are ready, and that's at netsuite.com/locked. All right, head on over to netsuite.com/locked for the special one-of-a-kind financing offer on all the number one financial systems for growing businesses. That is netsuite.com/locked. Welcome back into a Thursday Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane, @_Kaner on Twitter, @LockedOnVols. And now pleased to join to the show Ben McKee, my buddy from VolQuest.com, also the producer and co-host of the Swain event every single morning. Ben, what's going on, man?
My guy, Eric, what's up, man?
You know, just trying to get used to this new venture of the podcast, put it on YouTube so they can see our beautiful faces. Now, they've heard our voices for a couple of years now, but now they get to see our faces, so I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing. Hey, so Tennessee basketball last night got back on the right track, 68-60 on the road to Vanderbilt, a physical basketball game. Wasn't a pretty basketball game, but Tennessee did jump back into the win column. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a better win than people are going to give Tennessee credit for. It's kind of an unfortunate situation for Tennessee because if you lose that game, a lot of people are going to freak out and you're one game down in the standing even more than you already were, and not it's more of a resume herder than a resume builder. But that Vanderbilt team isn't the Vanderbilt team that it was the last couple of years, and not that it's a resume defining or changing or building win, but that's not the rat team that they were the last couple of years. I think people associate this Vanderbilt team kind of like what Georgia is, and that's not the case at all. This Vanderbilt team's they're solid. They are, and they're a rival. They play in a gym that has not been kind to Tennessee. So when you take into consideration that they are a better version of themselves, Tennessee was embarrassed on Saturday in Lexington, and they bounced back with a tough, gritty win in conference on the road in a gym that hasn't been kind to them. I think it's an impressive win, a better win than most will give them credit for.
You know, Rick Barnes said he was going to start shaking up the vibe after that blowout loss at Kentucky last weekend. Made a change at the starting five. Kind of no surprise to me, simply because he'd been playing so much more consistent than Fulkerson, really. But Uroš Blahovsić gets the start. He gets 13.7 boards. He plays 20 minutes. Fulkerson only has a couple. He had 7 rebounds, but only played about 12 minutes because he was into foul trouble. But Uroš Blahovsić, I don't know how sustainable it is, but here lately, he has been playing some good basketball.
He has. Since conference play started, I think it was like 4 rebounds and 4 points and 3 rebounds per game on the season now. But kind of when you just look at his conference play numbers, he's up to 5 points a game and 6 rebounds, something like that. But he's shooting 51% from the field, and the 5.3 rebounds per game is the statistic that stands out the most. That has always been the most frustrating part of Uroš's game that he has not done, is that he's 7 foot and he hasn't rebounded the ball all that well. And last night he rebounded it really well and was really effective on the offensive glass. 4 offensive boards, and one was at a very crucial time after Vanderbilt had knocked down back-to-back threes to tie the game at 60. Zakai Ziegler misses a 3 and he gets the offensive rebound. He puts it back in. That gives Tennessee a 62-60 lead, and that sparked an 8-0 run for Tennessee to end the game over the final minute. So He has been playing better the last couple of weeks. You saw him be physical with Oscar Tshiebwe at Kentucky. Rick Barnes said if you turn on the tape and you listen to what we asked him to do, he actually played well within the loss. So he's going to play more. I think that's also a product of other guys not playing up to their potential. But he's also taken a step forward. So he looked good in his new role. I think John Fulkerson also looked better off the bench. He didn't necessarily have the point production, but 7 rebounds, 3 offensive rebounds, had a block, had an assist, had a steal. I thought he was active. I thought he was bringing the energy. So I thought both looked good in their new roles, and credit to Rick Barnes for pressing those buttons.
Yeah, something I noticed, Ben, was just, and again, when you get blown out the way you did on the road against your biggest rival in basketball in Kentucky, you want to bounce back and bounce back in a good way. I thought the energy level just was through the roof, you know, really the entire game. And maybe that has to do with playing another rival in Vanderbilt and then state foe playing on the road. You saw a little scuffle there with Uros a couple of times, but with Vescovy at the beginning of the game. And then, of course, you know, towards the end of the game when Stute just kind of, you know, throws a little weak, you know, a little weak elbow there, and then all four guys get teed up. So that was kind of good to see. I want to ask on Brandon Huntley Hatfield. A lot of fans were calling for him to get a whole lot more playing time. He did get more playing time, and I think he will moving forward. Thought it would be a tall task to ask him to jump from about 3 minutes per game into that starting lineup. So I didn't predict that whatsoever. But thoughts on Brandon Huntley Hatfield of late and the performance he had against Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is a big development for Tennessee if he continues to develop, if that makes sense. The big development is that, according to Rick Barnes, a couple of days before the Kentucky game, he came to the coaching staff and kind of peeled back some layers of his onion and said, I can't do this on my own anymore, and I need y'all's help. I think Rick Barnes said that he let his guard down and kind of allowed for people to help him. And that's big, because he is supposed to be a high school senior right now. And, you know, it has not gone the way that it has gone for Zakai Ziegler. And Brandon Huntley Hatfield certainly arrived with much more fanfare because he was a 5-star, but he just hasn't been as ready to play as I think most people anticipated. And you certainly see the skill set, his athleticism for his size. He is more of a new age big man, and that is something that Tennessee has needed. But I think he's needed to take the biggest steps mentally and just between the ears and just learning the offense and learning the defense. And I thought that was a big development, that he went to Rick Barnes and said, hey, I can't do this on my own anymore. I'll let my guard down. Please help me. My teammates have told me that they need me. Let's do it. And he came out against Kentucky, and, you know, there wasn't much pressure in the second half when he was doing some good things, but he did some good things and did not play well against Vanderbilt. Did see an increase in minutes. I believe he played like 11 minutes in the first half, which is a huge bump in playing time for him. Only played 2 minutes in the second half, finished with 13 minutes. But Rick did give him a longer leash against Vanderbilt in the first half. And I just think that kind of things didn't go his way. Like, he had the open three in the corner. It looked good. It just didn't fall down. And I'm sure he didn't play perfect when they go back and watch the film. But he just needs more playing time. And, like, he didn't necessarily play well last night, but that shouldn't relegate him back to the bench. If this Tennessee basketball team is going to take another step, it's going to be because somebody like Brandon Huntley Hatfield, not even somebody like Brandon Huntley Hatfield, it will be because Brandon Huntley Hatfield took another step. And Rick said that Uros has gotten better because he's played more. That needs to happen with Brandon Huntley Hatfield as well.
Ben, last thing, it's a 2-part question. We'll get you out of the door here. I could talk, you know, the entire episode with you. Got a whole lot of questions, but Josiah Jordan James knocked out of that ball game after just 4 minutes, after it looked like a head, you know, something with the head there, a head collision. What's his status? What's the latest on Josiah Jordan James? And what's your outlook as Tennessee prepares for the rematch, this time inside TBA with LSU coming to town?
Yeah, not an update on Josiah just yet. Rick didn't have an update after the game last night, and said that he would be just further evaluated in the coming days, but he didn't have an update on him. So I guess we'll see the next time Josiah or Rick meets with the media. In terms of this weekend, it's a big game. LSU punked Tennessee in some ways down in Baton Rouge 2 weeks ago, and you mentioned Tennessee getting into some scuffles with Vanderbilt, and I thought that was a great thing to see. The thing that this Tennessee team is missing is kind of that Lamonte Turner, Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams, not going to back down type of attitude and not afraid to say something to your face, both to opponents and both to a teammate if they mess up, not afraid of physical altercation either. And that's what this Tennessee team needs more of. You could say that they're too nice too often. And so I thought it was a good thing to see Urosh and Santiago kind of step up and not back down when Vanderbilt was throwing their little chicken wings into the back of Santi. So I point that out because they're going to need that this weekend against LSU. LSU has always had those type of teams of they're not going to back down. They're going to talk a lot of trash. They're going to get in your face. The intensity is going to be very high. So Tennessee is going to have to match that intensity and carry that over, carry that same fight. But from a basketball standpoint, the game got away from Tennessee at times. At LSU, they were down by as many as 20, if I remember correctly, came back and only lost by 12. And I think they had cut it to 5 at one point. And I really felt after that game that, hey, like that game should have been a Tennessee win. If you go back and you take advantage of all the opportunities that Tennessee had, they were missing open shots. They were missing free throws. LSU was allowing them to kind of hang around, and Tennessee just didn't put its foot on its throat and kind of take advantage of those opportunities. So it is a very winnable game, although fans may not feel so because that game has not gone in Tennessee's favor the last couple of years. It'll be a fun environment inside of Thompson Bowling Arena, and I think if Tennessee can execute, then they can come out with a win. But they're going to have to match the intensity and knock down open shots. They have to.
Ben McKee at Ben McKee 14 on Twitter, co-host of the Swain Events, producer of the Swain Events, and does really, really great work along with the great team, including myself, over at VolQuestRivals.com. Ben, thanks so much, man. I'm going to leave you on this real quick, briefly. How important is Chase McGrath? We're talking special teams in the next segment. Chase McGrath, I mean, All-American, right?
Yes. I think Chase McGrath is a better kicker than people give him credit for. So, yes, preseason All-American. just go ahead and give him all the kicking awards.
Write it out. Ben, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you, my friend.
That's Ben McKee, a regular contributor here to this show. Big thanks to him. Give him a follow at BenMcKee14 on Twitter. All right, Bet Online. Like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march throughout the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all your sports wagering action in 2022. New year, new updated desktop and mobile website. So go ahead and sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use that promo code LOCKEDON to get started. That's a promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all these amazing offers available for the 2022 calendar year. BetOnline, it is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. Hey, everybody, we got a final segment left here of a Thursday Locked On Vols and day number one for YouTube. Can't thank you guys enough for stopping by and hanging out with us here today on YouTube as well. If you're listening to this podcast, as always, nothing has changed there. Big thanks to Ben McKee, one of my best friends, for stopping by the show and talking Tennessee hoops. The joke that we kind of had there at the end about Chase McGrath, he is a big-time Chase McGrath fan. That's fine. He's a good kicker. It is what it is. He's not all SEC. Let's just put it that way. I don't know how you guys view that. And it's nothing against Chase McGrath. He's an asset for this team, but it's not like he's all SEC. So I want to talk about that in Vols and Review. Let's get to special teams. We'll talk coaching tomorrow. I know we talked coaching with Josh Ward yesterday, but we'll get to it more tomorrow as well. But here we go. Vols and Review special teams. Let's go ahead and start with Chase McGrath, shall we? 12 of 16 kicking on the season. In terms of field goals, 75%. That's better than some kickers that have been here at Tennessee, am I right? 4 for 4 from the 20-yard range, 20 to 29 yards. 5 of 6 from the 30 to 39-yard range, so pretty solid. You get past 40 yards, there's nothing guaranteed with Chase McGrath. He's 3 of 5 from 40 to 49 yards this season, 0 of 1 from 50-plus yards. He's only made one kick from 50 yards or more in his entire career. That was back in 2019. I believe it was a 53-yarder at USC. He only attempted one this year, and of course it was the kick in the Music City Bowl to where he missed it trying to win the game there. It was like a 57-yarder, I believe. So 40 yards or more, nothing's guaranteed. If you're going to be a good kicker, in my opinion, if you want to have a future in the National Football League, those 40-yarders, they're not gimmies, but they need to be damn near gimmies, right? They need to be close to gimmies. So for me, that's what I think, you know, that's kind of what that means. But moving forward, you know, Chase McGrath is coming back, and that's big for Tennessee. He's a school record holder with as many PATs in a season. He was 66 of 66. He's a school record holder for PATs kicked in a single game, that being the Music City Bowl. So he's solid with short stuff. But again, like, you know, Chase McGrath is very much better, very much more better, that makes sense, right, than what Trayvon Flowers was at his job playing safety with Chase McGrath playing kicker. He was better at his job. But like I say with Trayvon Flowers, when you have experience coming back, that's a whole lot better than not having experience coming back. So Chase McGrath, an okay season, like for those numbers to get better, especially the 40-plus, you know, moving forward, and then, you know, seeing if you can improve on that in 2022. Now, Paxton Brooks, kind of a middle-of-the-road punter in the SEC, in my opinion. He was sixth in the SEC with a 44.2 yards per punt. You know, that is, again, that's about sixth in the SEC. That's solid. It's not great, but that's solid. He had a 64-yard punt that's a career long against Bowling Green, game number one. 26 punts that were fair caught, which is solid. 18 punts inside the 20-yard line, which is really, really good. That's what you're shooting for, okay? You know, the closer you can get to the goal line without going into the goal line, that's what you want, because obviously, you know, it's a longer field for the offense to go. But you're playing with that risk factor there, because if that ball rolls in the end zone, well, then that's a touchback. 11 punts that span 50 yards or more. That's pretty solid as well. So, you know, Paxton Brooks, okay. You know, again, he's a guy that's punted since he was a freshman. Took the job from, what was his name? The Farragut guy. He was here. He was a starting punter for Jack Doyle. Yeah, Jack Doyle took the job from Jack Doyle as a true freshman and has really just never given up, you know, from it since as well. So Paxton Brooks, pretty solid. Now let's get to the fun stuff, okay? Returning, Valus Jones Jr., a dynamic returner for the University of Tennessee and a guy that Tennessee is going to miss next season, no doubt. 18 returns for Valus Jones Jr., 272 yards, averaging 15.11 yards per return on the punts. He had a career-long 50-yard punt return against South Alabama. Those 15.11 yards, tops in the SEC and punt return average. Okay, Valus Jones was a dynamic returner in the punts. And here's the thing. For as much as we've known about Valus Jones, okay, he was a dynamic kick returner in the Pac-12. Okay, he's returned kicks his entire career. He returned kicks for Tennessee back in the 2020 season. He's not been much of a punt returner throughout his entire career. Really just picked it up this year, and he was good at it. He was really, really good at it. So good for Valus Jones. Just adding another thing to his resume to where he's going to try to latch on to an NFL squad this summer, and that's what he gets. So good job from Valus Jones in terms of punt returning the football. Now let's go to kick return. This is more of his bread and butter. 23 returns this season for Valus Jones, 628 yards, 27.30 was his average. He did have one touchdown, and it was that 96-yard return for a touchdown against South Alabama. Had a really good game against South Alabama. You know, he's from Mobile as well, so that must have been pretty sweet for him. And, of course, he was the SEC Special Teams Player of the Week that week. Now, Tennessee's going to miss Valus Jones for sure. So special teams altogether, well, real quick, we'll talk, coverage units. Kickoff coverage units was a real weapon for Tennessee at the beginning of the season against Bowling Green, against Pittsburgh, against Florida at times. A real weapon. Let a kickoff return for a touchdown against Missouri. Had a couple penalties. Left a couple big returns get through there throughout the year as it went on. It wasn't as consistent as you'd like for it to be, but it had its moments. Punt return or punting team, very penalized unit this year. Remember the Florida game? Think of the games against Pittsburgh where, you know, punt return. You blocked a punt, set it up at the 2-yard line, first and goal from the 2. You kick it in there. It's 10-0. I mean, that was a great asset for Tennessee that game, but also it was penalized that game. It was penalized in the Florida game. Tennessee's 2 losses early in the season were because Tennessee was so penalized, and that was a theme for Josh Heupel dating back to his UCF days. We talked about it here on the podcast. He was one of the most penalized coaches, or really teams, UCF was, his entire time that he was down there in Orlando. Now, that wasn't the entire narrative for the 2021 season. It got better, but at least early in the season, a lot of those penalties in games where you lost came from special teams units, and that's just inexcusable. So you like the young group of talent that's on those teams, and it's always going to be filled with some starters, but a lot of reserves because it's an opportunity for these guys to play and give maximum effort. Let me tell you this too. You know, back in my day when I played football, my spot on the bus as a freshman at Carson Newman. Okay, my spot on the bus was special teams. I was on every single special teams unit, Uncle Rico style. Okay, let me have my moment. But we scored so much on offense at Carson Newman that, I mean, I ran down the field 8 or 9, I kid you not, 8 or 9 times on kickoff a game. I averaged probably 40 snaps a game just from playing all the special teams units. I'm telling you guys, I mean, if you're a full-time special teams player, I mean, you're hurt the next day. You're hurting the next day, okay? Because you're playing a lot of snaps. And that's what a lot of these guys were. So that's where you want to see these young guys like William Mohan Christian Charles when healthy. And, you know, guys like, you know, next year you want to see like Jordan Thomas and Desmond Williams and Christian Harris and guys like that. You want to see those guys contribute on special teams because you want special teams to be an asset for your team. And I think Mike Eckler is the perfect guy to coach him as well. So in 2021, for the most part, I think it's 2 thumbs up, but a lot of that has to do with Velus Jones because you had a dynamic returner that could house one anytime and just create something out of nothing. Tennessee's got to find somebody. Could it be Desmond Williams that takes the spot for Velus Jones? Could it be Jimmy Holiday who did nice work and returned a couple of kicks this year? Could it be Jimmy Callaway? Could it be somebody? Could it be Jalen Hyatt? Could it be somebody else? Somebody else is going to have to step up for a Velus Jones who says goodbye. So special teams, at times a real asset for Tennessee, at other times kind of a headache, but overall I would give it a thumbs up for 2021. Mike Eckler got to tighten some things up in year number 2, but overall was a pretty solid unit for Tennessee. All right, Vols in review. We'll talk coaching tomorrow. We'll also preview LSU, a big game back at Tennessee. LSU punked Tennessee on the bayou a couple weeks ago. Tennessee looking for revenge. We'll talk all that and more on a Friday episode of Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for making the premiere episode on YouTube a success. Guys, if you're watching, come back. Subscribe. Please subscribe. It would mean a whole lot to me and Locked On Vols team. Every subscription counts. Please subscribe. We're got a race to 1,000. We need to get 1,000 subscriptions on YouTube. Just search Locked On Vols. Find me on Twitter @_Kaner, @LockedOnVols. I will post the link to YouTube every single day, plus all to the other listening devices. Easy way to find the podcast each and every day @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols. Make Locked On Bet your second listen now. Your boy Q, handicapping expert Lee Sterling, your one-stop shop for all your sports gambling needs. That's Locked On Bets, your second listen behind Locked On Vols, which is your first listen each and every day. Guys, thanks so much for stopping by here today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and we'll talk to you again here on Locked On Vols.